Renee. This morning, I'm talking about the path of perfection and the inner fire. This is not necessarily a feel-good lecture, but it's instructional. And for those of us who are on the path of perfection, who believe in reincarnation and strongly understand the law of evolving, you will have an appreciation for this morning. But it is not easy. So we have a handout for those of you that are here to better understand. And there's some more in the front chair. And our recording team's going to put it up on the screen, and I'll let you know when. Okay. So let me start with some questions and answers. First, the definition of Agni Yoga. The Agni Yoga teaching is the teaching of the inner fire, the manifesting spark. It's the teaching of the inner fire, the manifesting spark. So all of those 13 books, including the supermundane, if you pay attention and you start peeling away the layers, going more deeply into the teaching of Agni Yoga, you are going to recognize this common theme, that it is the teaching of the inner fire, the manifesting spark. So what is the inner fire? That's the question. This is the answer. The manifesting divine spark, which through evolution entered the human kingdom. And this divine spark is now trying to humanize itself. So what is the spark? This is a key answer, because it's going to reflect this diagram. So, again, what is the spark? It's the human monad fallen into matter. The human monad fallen into matter. Question. You know what this question is going to be, right? What is the human monad? It is the divine spark within us. It is what is real within us. It is sometimes referred to as the awareness unit. We must eventually come to an understanding that we are not the physical body. We are not form. And the reason we don't want to identify with these forms is because these forms eventually die. The human monad does not die. The human monad, the divine spark, is the real person. It evolves and progresses. You see, at one time, human beings, according to the secret doctrine, had huge animal-like bodies possessing no intellect. They were empty of intelligence. They were empty of intelligence. These were the first human beings, which were part of the first half of what is called the third root race. And this occurred about 18 million years ago. Now, in the secret doctrine, we are told this. Having passed through all the kingdoms of nature in the previous three rounds, his physical frame was ready to receive the divine pilgrim at the first dawn of human life. In other words, this occurred 18 million years ago. It is only at the midpoint of the third root race that humanity was endowed with a manas. Once united, the lower animals, from amoeba to man, received their monads. So it did this reception did not occur for 18 million years. 18 million years. This is the process of evolving. We received our monads 18 million years ago. Now, what are these monads? These monads give us the higher qualities, the potential, gives us higher qualities, gives us potential of all, but they remain dormant until the spark reaches the human form. And again, before that, there was no manas, so there was no intelligence. And because of that, there is no development. Now, Master M tells us that when the foundation of a race is laid, the assembling of the race is established upon the best principles. How is this done? It's through the cosmic magnet. So the cosmic magnet impels the seed. This is a very important point if you're taking notes, because you're going to want to think about this over and over and over again the way I have. The cosmic magnet impels the seed, and around it is the developing monad. The monad developed itself around the seed. Each eternal seed of spirit, the monad, has a cycle. This cycle develops along a general principle. When the dominant element is fiery, then the principle of the new race will be built upon fire. Now, that quote is from the book Infinity, Volume 1, Paragraph 214. It was near this time in the history of the evolving spark that we were given spark of mind, which we call ego with a capital E, or the higher mind. The capital E ego, for a period of time, both in and out of incarnation, guides the monad, the lower ego. So at this point, the monad is the lower ego of which the higher mind is guiding, or the transpersonal self is guiding. Helena Roark wrote something of interest to one of her students in talking about women and their monad. She wrote, "Buddha held woman in the highest esteem and stated that she could achieve, as well as man, the highest degrees of arhatship. Verily, the same fire of spirit, the same monad, is aflame in woman as in man." She goes on to tell us, and now is when you're going to want to put this up. She goes on to tell us what the teaching has to say about spirit, soul, and body. She explains that in all the teachings, one finds this subdivision of the human being into three fundamental principles. Spiritual is one, psychic is a second, and physical is a third, aka spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. If I had a whiteboard up here, I know it would be easier. So this is why you've got this diagram in front of you. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, we're going to add a little bit more information to this. In the Eastern teachings, there is an extension of these three basic principles. spirit, soul, and body. They're the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh principles. This development was approved by the Mahatmas in the secret doctrine. And so the highest or fundamental principle, which contains potentially the synthesis of all the others, is the fiery energy of life or spirit, called Atma. That's the seventh principle. The highest or fundamental principle contains, like I said, the synthesis of all others. Life or spirit contains a synthesis of all the others. And it is the fiery energy which is spread throughout the entire cosmos. For its focus, and focus it must have, focus is a key word, it requires the sixth principle, and the sixth principle is Buddhi, often called the spirit soul. Buddhi is the sixth principle, is often called spirit soul. Why spirit soul? That's to show the distinction between the higher and the lower, or the spirit soul and the animal human soul. So the monad is formed around the seed, which is primarily unconscious, the unconscious incarnated ego. If you go back and watch the video, or if it doesn't work, listen to the audio, one or the other will work eventually. And just listen to it a few times. It'll start sinking in, and then an image will come in front of you or part of your mind, and you will say, yes, now I understand this. Okay, so the monad is formed around the seed, which is primarily unconscious and is the incarnated ego. I could really get into a lot of cosmology here that will take you from here to here to here and say, yes, I see the synchronicity and the synthesis of all parts. But you can do that yourself if you have an interest. Then follows the thinker, which is intelligence, higher intelligence. So these three principles form the higher triad, or the conscious immortal ego. In Devashan, this ego survives after the dissolution of the other principles. So the ego survives, capital E ego survives, after the dissolution of all the other principles, which form basically man's earthly personality, or as Easterners would put it, man's lower ego. The monad then is our essence, our unfolding human soul. As unfolding human souls, we, through our evolution, first identify with our physical form. Then the soul evolves and begins to identify with its emotional world. And then the mental world. And each time it believes, I am the body. I am the physical body. I am the emotional body, and so forth. The duty of the capital ego, the transpersonal self, is to lead our soul through these three bodies, also called the halls of learning, to lead these three bodies, our transpersonal self, to lead our soul through these bodies are halls of learning to higher planes where we will reach our true self, the monad, or in other words, the plane of the monad. See, if I had the diagram we have, I could show you all this, but use your intuition. I'm trying to visualize as I'm speaking all of these images that I'm talking about. It should help. In esoteric, in the esoteric tradition, the monad is the father. The soul is the path. So here's another question. How does Agni Yoga affect one's life? The Agni Yoga teaching stirs our inner fire and awakens our virtues, our dreams, and visions. Agni Yoga ignites the fire within us. The self, the capital S self, which is trying to manifest. Here's another question. What does one inner fire do to the personality, the lower ego, the lower self? Our inner fire transmutes them. Three words, you're all familiar with these. Transmutation, transformation, and transfiguration. Our inner fire transmutes, transforms, transfigures the personality and paves the way for a fuller expression of our monad. As human souls, we must advance. To enable our monad to advance, we must eventually place ourselves on the path of perfection. Agni energy kindles the inner fires of the chakra system through a triple fire from the substance of the buddhic plane, the higher mental plane, and the lower nature. Those three fires, the inner fires. The transpersonal self, now the transpersonal self dwells in the mental body. The human soul labors to raise the consciousness of our three lower vehicles. We would say that the transpersonal self is to our human soul, is our human soul is to its lesser lives. Most who are on the path of Agni Yoga are on the path of perfection, self-perfectment. To be on the path of perfection means we are striving to expand our consciousness. So I'm going to talk about those three major expansions of consciousness, transmutation, transformation, transfiguration. So to expand our consciousness, what does this mean? It means we are kindling the inner fire and thereby creating more opportunities for our seed of spirit essence to manifest in expression. Those on the path of Agni Yoga are striving to unite with higher and greater fires within their consciousness. The secret doctrine teaches, as I said, from amoeba to man, each receives their monads, in which all the higher qualities are potential, right? Remember I said that a little while ago. Okay. It is our responsibility and our opportunity to release our higher potential. So this is why the Rorics and Master Moria kept saying this teaching is not about sugar-coated nuts. It's not about, what was the phrase Helena Roark used, soothing syrup, right? And this is why this is not a path for everybody. But it is a path for some of us. If we do not expand our consciousness, the higher, these higher qualities remain only as potential. So I'm now going to talk about the three major expansions of consciousness. The first I said is transmutation. Transmutation is mostly concerned with the transference of force from the lower centers to the corresponding higher centers. See, if we had a seminar going on, we could talk about this and how this force works and how it's very real and how it manifests in you physically and how it expresses through you, through your personality, through your day-to-day life. So it's not an abstract phenomenon that only happens invisibly. It's not. It's all visible. The cause may be invisible. The effect is very visible. So I'm going to repeat this. The transmutation is mostly concerned with the transference of force from the lower centers to the corresponding higher centers and is related to the physical and etheric bodies. As the substance of these centers refine, this is grist for the mill, right? As the substance of these centers refine and pass into a more radiatory state of existence, we say that that person is on the path of transmutation. So you see, there's a whole process that is taking place when you step on the path of Agni Yoga. Now, a question may be, do you have to be on the path of Agni Yoga for this to happen? No. But this process will not happen for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, because eventually, as Agni yogis come back into incarnation, life after life after life, they bring the substance of these three principles into actualization in such a way that it begins to precipitate into the consciousness of humanity. So those that are on the path of Agni Yoga are pioneers. They are way showers. Now the monadic fire, and let me interrupt myself here, saying the way shower was Helena Rourke. So if you read her book, At the Threshold of the New World, you're going to learn about these fires and how they're very real and the effect they have on us. The monadic fire comes in contact with the personality and causes the process of transmutation and transformation. Transmutation is a result of the action of fire. The action of fire. So, we transmute our physical body, for example, through the fire of mind. Now, how does this take place? This fire of mind, this transference, concentration. Very simple. Focus and concentration. Actually, concentration is the response of the person to the evolutionary process and to the magnetic pull of the transpersonal self or the higher ego. Now, transmutation is a process in which we change the atoms. See, something has to change, right? We cannot stay the same. Transmutation is a process by which we change the atoms in our bodies, those atoms of inertia. So we move these atoms of inertia into atoms of rhythm. Transmutation leads us to the first major expansion of consciousness, in which the physical body and the life force are under the control now, finally, of the human soul. On higher levels, this means that the personality is replaced or overshadowed by the energy of the transpersonal self. It is a process of transmuting desire into aspiration. See the action? Atoms of action, atoms of rhythm. Transmuting desire into aspiration, aspiration into determination. Never give up. Determination. This initiates the process of transformation. This is how our physical body becomes energetic and charged with the fire to serve. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to serve perfectly, but now we've taken that desire of self, see, into the aspiration to serve. Because of the transmutation process, inertia, depression, laziness, and apathy disappear. Anger, hatred, jealousy, revenge disappear. Fear, greed, and vanity disappear. And so the body, the emotional vehicle, and the mental mechanism are now beautifully growing. So when this is the case, our physical body begins to reflect tenderness. Our emotional body reflects the intuitive light, and our mental body reflects the light of the higher mind. When our physical body is purified to a certain degree through the transmutation process, our health increases. Our energy and dynamism increase, and our body becomes more adaptable to the changing conditions of our life. Our emotional body radiates joy and love and peace, and this is an important point, does not distort intuitional flashes that are coming to it from the higher planes. As our mental body is transmuted, it becomes a clear mirror for a higher vision and revelations, and develops an advanced power of creativity. The color of our mental body turns into a pure lemon yellow light from the center of which 12 rays radiate like a rainbow. When the fourth petal of the lotus, we could call is the love petal. When this love petal begins to unfold, now it creates transformation in our human body. As the next two levels of love petals unfold, real integration of the personality bodies begin to take place. So now we've got six of the nine petals working and all functioning actively. More rhythm. Transmutation is a development and the refinement of the atoms of our body. Now the second major expansion of consciousness is called transformation. Transformation mostly is concerned with our astral body. When the motion of the astral body changes into the quality called rhythm, we say that the astral body is transformed. And the intuitional substance has now taken the place of astral substance. It is here that desire changes into aspiration, and the desire of havingness becomes the aspiration toward beingness. At this point, a person's evolution as the individual sorry, in at this point in our evolution, we cease to have the desire to accumulate, no hoarding. But it's more than that. Accumulation means more than that, you know, to the Agni Yogi, and develops aspiration into being. This is the quality of a disciple. And as the disciple progresses on the path, the energy of Buddhi becomes their light, that sixth principle, right? Becomes their light and source of their inspiration. So, transformation leads us to the second major expansion of consciousness, which is called the second initiation of the threshold. Transformation of the astral body leads the disciple into the next expansion, the third expansion of consciousness called transfiguration. It is on the path of transfiguration. Now the disciple becomes a true initiate. Transformation is related to the change of forms that are built by the transmuted atoms. For example, we have individual diamonds transmuted from coal. Transformation occurs when these diamonds are brought together to build a diamond form. Transformation also occurs in the astral body and mental body. Your whole personality, in other words, transforms and comes closer to the archetype of what is called esoterically the heavenly man. Transformation of the, now keep in mind, I just got this to go back to what Helena Rourke said and Master Moria talked about the monad of the woman. So don't think that only man can make and experience and achieve this realization. We all can. Man and woman. I don't know if it was important to say that again, but apparently it was. Who knows who's listening to this on YouTube? So transformation of the vehicles makes them more sensitive to the positive energies in nature. And because of this sensitivity, they exercise a great influence on the bodies of others, as well as the bodies of the planet and animal kingdom, and thereby causing transformation in them. The third major expansion of consciousness, transfiguration. The agent of transfiguration is the fire of the higher triad, the spiritual triad, which gradually pours down to our personality vehicles through the process of advanced meditation and contemplation. This fire of the spiritual triad, which works through the transpersonal self, releases the lights of the permanent atoms of the three bodies of the personality and produces a great experience. And this experience is called enlightenment. It is also called transfiguration. It is with this achievement that the astral body disappears with all of its glamours. The illusions of the mental body are washed away, and the person stands in the light of the higher triad. Transfiguration means that your physical, etheric, emotional, and mental bodies become dynamically radioactive with the beauty of your true self. We think that transfiguration is very far from us, but it is not. We can achieve this state through sacrifice, through dedication, through meditation and love, and traveling this path of perfection. So we all have the ability to transmute and transform and transfigure ourselves so that eventually we will stand as shining flames. Transfiguration is where the physical, emotional, and mental nature is purified to where you can see the vision and purpose of the planetary life and live a life of purity and beauty and harmlessness. As we travel this path of perfection and the inner fire fuses with our vehicles, synthesizing them into a whole, the seed of spirit galvanizes them into the light. It is then we pass through the experience of transfiguration, which is the result of increasing the release of this fire. To fuse with the inner fire means to submit our personal, separative, ignorant will to the will of our inner essence. An Agni Yogi is a person who unifies him or herself with the whole, with the essence of all. Because they are truly unified with fire, they radiate Agni, will, purpose, energy, joy, and bliss. An Agni Yogi is a living fountain of beauty and creativity. Now, here's four methods of expansion. The first method is to view everything that is related to you from the viewpoint of the future. Everything that occurs to you right now, everything that has occurred to you in the past, and even the ancient past. You want to see it, these experiences, these situations from the point of view of the future. There's great wisdom in this. So that's the first method of expansion of consciousness. The second is, this is interesting, is to do the evening review. One and two really work well together. The evening review. The third is to adopt the viewpoint of the whole picture and to see things in the light of synthesis. See how we're trying to bring the seventh principle now into activity, the Atmic principle. And the fourth method of expanding our consciousness is to look at life from the viewpoint of service, not I'm so busy. I want everybody to know how busy I am and then to be proud of me for being busy. See, that's not it. That's not it. If we are to expand our consciousness, we want to look at our life from the viewpoint of service, the sense of responsibility, and the application of the teaching to life. Now, I had a wonderful quote to end with that somehow didn't get printed out, but I've got it on my cell phone. So if I can read it, because the letters are very little, I will close with this. A great master was once asked, "How do the masters know of these things?" He replied, "We don't need to know. We can connect our telephone line and immediately receive an answer." This is an example of the extension of consciousness, of direct knowledge, called the human triangle, into the planetary triangle, love, compassion, and wisdom, hierarchy, courage, daring, and great works of construction and destruction, which are a connection through Shambhala, the center where the will of God is known. In Christian literature, Shambhala is known as a father's home. Christ once said, "There are many mansions, in my Father's home. And I think I'll close there. I can't read anymore.